passing the torch. For those of you who are going to be coming later on today to my further conversation session, I kindly ask that you all bring along your hard copy of the essay with you. I'll be pretty much this morning staying close to script. You might want to follow with the outline, or if you really want to see what I forget, you can follow along in the hard copy this morning. And to all of my friends out there who have my phone number, yes, my phone is off for the next 50 minutes. Dedicated to those who passed the torch to me, Pastor John Brenner, Bay City, Michigan, Professor Daniel Deutschlander, and Professor James Tiefel, Wisconsin Lutheran Seminary, in the name of Jesus. The torch has always been passed. Abraham passed the patriarchal torch to his son Isaac. The prophetic torch would be passed along with Elijah's mantle or Elisha's shoulders. And the scepter of kingship would pass from David to Solomon. Our Lord himself would mentor 12 men, teaching them the fine art of fishing for men, which is why we can all confidently sing as we did last night. Our lips shall tell them to our sons, and they again to theirs, that generations yet unborn may teach them to their heirs. The general flow of this year's conference is passing the torch to the next generation. Why? Because several of the key participants of last worship conference noted all of the young faces that were beginning to take on leadership roles in the worship life of this conference and of our synod at large. It's not to say that the old generation is getting old. The worship bench of Wells is aging like a fine wine, increasing in depth and complexity. But what is amazing to the casual observer is the degree to which their efforts have been blessed as a new generation comes forth from the old. They are new, but they are not few. And so we look at dousing the torch. There is much, sadly, that I simply do not remember about my years at Northwestern College of blessed memory. My professors were doing their best to try and pass a torch on to me, but I was far more interested in surviving until spring break. One day, however, I remember Professor Selno teaching us something in Intro to Psychology about the debate between nature and nurture. Are we simply what our genes predetermine us to be, nature, or do we take on the look and feel of our surroundings, nurture? That all seemed so very cerebral to a 20-year-old in a desk in Watertown, but then I got married, and then I had children. I find it fascinating that my son Carl, as he is finding his adult voice, is sounding a whole lot like my Canadian Michigan voice, with hooty O's and U's and awful grammar. The nuances of Michigan English are his through nurture. As for nature, we found out over a month ago that my wife has the BRCA gene embedded in her DNA. For her, if breast cancer comes, it won't be a result of smoking 2 packs a day. She doesn't. It will be a result of the genetic mutation that my dear mother-in-law also is afflicted with. Nature. But now my point. Whether we are dealing with our nature or our nurture, the torch, friends, is in terrible trouble. In truth, the BRCA gene is just the tip of the iceberg to what happened in Eden. Who are we by nature? We are sinners, but when is the last time you plumbed the depths of what that really, truly means? Enemies of God, looking out for number one when we didn't know the difference between a one and a two, we praise the perverted and we silence the sacred and we try to nicify all of this. The terrible two-year-old is just having a bad day. The idol factory known as the human heart is just suffering from mixed up priorities. But the reality refuses to be nicified. We are by birth exhibit A of what Spengler sings in the hymn. All mankind fell in Adam's fall. One common sin infects us all. From one to all, the curse descends, and over all, God's wrath impends. God promised death to Adam and Eve as a result of their infatuation with forbidden fruit, and the dying has continued down to this very day without rest or retardando. The sinful nature must be put off if the torch is to be passed on. If the problem is not bad enough with our sinful nature, it threatens to douse the torch when we begin to talk about our nurture. The next generation is being nursed on a teat of contemporaneity. T. David Gordon, a media ecologist, in his fascinating book, Why Johnny Can't Sing Hymns, defines contemporaneity as a value system, quote, that prefers what is new to what is old. Contemporaneity views the past as passé and tends to regard it either with benign disinterest or with outright contempt. The roots of contemporaneity are several. Rapid advances in technology are favorite fuel of contemporaneity. Technological change contributes to contemporaneity by making generations without certain technologies appear primitive. Old is out of date, new and cutting edge is where it's at. When I was a teenager, I laughed at my mom when she told me to turn my record player down. It was a CD, of course. And I'm sure she did the same to my dear Grandma Lee when Mom got her first record player back when Elvis was king. Perhaps even more than technology, consumerism is the real taproot of our contemporary culture. Most people become convinced that what is newer is better, even though there is little evidence to substantiate the claim. Henry Ford, you see, did a lot more than manufacture Model Ts. He also learned how to manufacture discontent. What is new simply has to be better than what is old, otherwise Henry Ford would quickly manufacture himself right out of business. We believe the commercial lie that says what we own really says something about who we are. Commercial. When is a car no longer just a car? We believe the commercial lie. We buy what we don't need with money that we don't have, and we pay good money to cart the old yet still usable off to landfills, and then worry about the earth. Finally, there is a media origin to contemporaneity. Gordon notes that newspapers used to be published roughly every other week because it stands to reason that newsworthy events only happen all so often. Over years, however, news has become a commodity to be purchased. Advertising time is purchased. But in order to fill up the time that advertising has purchased and to keep people tuning in, news has to be manufactured. Witness the birth of the celebrity. So who does the average American care more about, Abraham Lincoln or Casey Anthony? What is the average American, practically speaking, more interested in, technology or the truth? Are we better consumers of things or of ideas? Our technology, you see, is keeping us in touch, but it is not making us smarter, and the news is keeping us in the know, but it is not making us wiser. Contemporaneity celebrates the present and only the present. Henry Ford coined its creed. History is bunk. The culture of contemporaneity ensures that any torch predating Justin Bieber is a torch that will be viewed as hopelessly out of date with the next generation, and the culture of contemporaneity also ensures that the present generation will struggle with what truly is a torch worth passing on. Is this a torch, or is this simply trendy, or even worse, trash? Our up-close viewpoint makes that difficult to determine. We seek to pass the torch, yet the torch is dimmed and then doused by our nature and our nurture. From hearts depraved to evil prone flow thoughts and deeds of sin alone. God's image lost the darkened soul, nor seeks nor finds its heavenly goal. Lord, have mercy upon us. The stakes are high when it comes to passing the torch. Retaining the gospel itself in our midst is at stake. Will our children have it, our children's children? This is most certainly true. The church will never perish, but what remains uncertain is whether or not Wells will make the cut until when Christ comes again. The gospel is but one generation from being lost in any given locale, and the gospel is certainly on the decline in our country. Meanwhile, in far-flung places in Asia and Africa, the gospel is on the go and on the grow, praise God. But after praising God, get busy with the torch in your hands. Why? Because the torch has been passed to you at the steep cost of Christ's blood and the martyr's death and the Father's sacrifice. The torch is doused, brothers and sisters. It's time to find some matches, and quick.